The reason it stays so well hidden is that although you may have instituted a bonus with our report card system to support it, you may be unwittingly intimidating your team into not challenging you. Now, you probably don't realize how easily a person in your position can intimidate an employee. And it's even worse if he or she perceives themselves as already being overpaid, or at least paid more than they can hope to get down the street at another office. When this is the case, they will naturally hesitate to challenge you. Now, some of you have told your staff to challenge you, you know, by adding additional patients to the schedule. But what you may not see is that you then turn around and snarl at them every time you find a patient encroaching into the lunch hour. You have to make staff know that there will be no raises other than the increased pay that will come from the bonus. And you also have to make them feel safe about challenging you, either with a tougher schedule or confronting you with a self-limiting behavior that you may be displaying that you're not aware of. See, if you're the kind of person who loves to work out and doesn't need a personal trainer to challenge your workout regimen, you're not as likely to find conditioning as a behavioral sticking point. Now, that's assuming, of course, that you can see the parallels between practice conditioning and physical conditioning, and I usually find that's the case. The good news is that when you reach the next level of patient volume and monthly production, and you've become accustomed to the physical and mental challenge associated with it, you won't even notice any difference in the two levels of production. It becomes the norm. All right, the next behavioral sticking point is what I call the human default challenge, or the challenge of the human condition. I call it the default challenge because all humans are defaulted towards certain predictable behavior. For example, everyone wants love, everyone wants acceptance and security. In practice, there are natural tendencies that work against growth. One of them is what I've called the drift toward practicism. Some of you have heard me talk about this before. See, practicism is the opposite of consumerism. Consumerism dictates that everything in the practice be designed to accommodate the patient's every whim. Practicism dictates a 3-hour workday with high fees and few staff to weigh down the payroll. This is just one example of the human default working against you. The real problem associated with a default blockage is that the breakthrough solution involves counterintuitive thinking and action. Now, earlier I described the Indiana Jones airwalk across the open ravine. Well, unfortunately, practice is no different. A good example is our bonus program. It's not unusual to have a doctor call who's neck deep in overhead with staff costs that are out of sight asking for help. I always wish I could see this doctor's face when I tell her that she can only solve her problem by paying her existing staff more money. She, of course, responds by saying, well, that makes no sense. You get it? That's the airwalk. The No Limits superstars seem to be a group who had learned long ago that practice growth was just one airwalk after another. Face it. If doing what came naturally would take your production to a higher level, you wouldn't be stuck. You're stuck because you just can't make yourself take that leap of faith necessary to add staff, add space, raise your fees, lower your fees, make your treatment time shorter, whatever it happens to be. But I will say that this does make the job of diagnosing your practice blockage a little easier. All you have to do is think of the one thing you'd be least likely to do or not do, and there it is. Find the open ravine that lies between you and your production goal and take the walk. Oh, and make sure that your staff are fully incentivized and that your practice is fully consumerized first. That way you won't plunge 300 feet to your financial death. And last, learned limitations. This is the one behavioral problem that occurs when you've picked up some bad advice along the way in your practice. The source of this bad advice may come from anyone from a parent to a consultant. It can come from well-meaning friends or colleagues who have mentored you in the past. They gave you some great information, but they also gave you some bad information. Maybe they had a specific neurosis that they're now sharing with you. I see this occur most dramatically when an assertive consultant or speaker takes it upon themselves to teach others their own system. If the speaker, for example, is highly assertive and the listener is non-assertive, I think you have the recipe for practice disaster. Remember, the assertive practitioner turned consultant may be perfectly comfortable twisting a patient's arm to accept comprehensive treatment, whereas the non-assertive listener may find it risky to smile at strangers. You also have to keep in mind that the assertive doctor turned speaker may now be speaking because he shot his practice right out from under himself using the very techniques that he's now teaching from the stage. Now, this is easy for me to say, never having owned or run a practice myself. I don't want to judge others harshly for having dealt unsuccessfully with an area that I haven't even tried. I do, however, want to warn off other doctors on practice-threatening mistakes that get casually taught from the stage. In my opinion, the most dangerous learned limitations that can be transmitted from speaker or consultant to doctor are those that suggest that you can use the same sales tactics taught to real estate and car salespeople when dealing with your own patients. I think this whole thing gets even worse when the teacher tells you something that you want to hear anyway. Things like, you can dramatically raise your prices and boost your volume because of it. Or that to get great staff, all you have to do is pay top dollar. These are all things we want to hear. As I mentioned earlier, it could be a parent or a college instructor who put these bad ideas in your head. Someone may have told you that high volume is malpractice personified, or that money is evil, etc. As you can see, the possibilities for getting blocked or having your practice stuck up to the axles are almost limitless. The point is that you recognize that, first of all, you are in fact stuck. Second, that your sticking point is more than likely behavioral as opposed to procedural. If there was one thing that came out of the No Limits meeting, it was that every problem in the professional practice is, in the end, the doctor's own fault. There are no exceptions. But remember, the fact that your current production plateau is your own fault is actually the best news that you're going to hear today. The fact that it's your fault means that the power to fix the problem rests entirely with you. Remember, you can be stuck and not even know you're stuck. It's all too easy to just go through the motions of practice building and not even know you're faking it. Look at your numbers. If the practice is flat, you're stuck. Listen to this recording until you have it memorized. Learn to at least identify your sticking point. You may need to have your staff listen to this recording so that they can help you identify your blockages as well as their own. Make your staff acknowledge that just like you, every one of them will eventually stick as they attempt to achieve a higher level of practice production. Remember, the secret to your next 10 practice breakthroughs are all right here in the 5 behavioral sticking points. So find your sticking point and take the walk, the air walk. Thanks for listening.